Hello, I'm Kathy Kinnaird. I recorded this informal introduction to human design on September 12, 2006, at one of my semi-monthly study group meetings. Originally, this talk was intended to be a very short overview. It went a bit longer, but we managed to edit it down to 30 minutes. You can find this recording on my website at humandesignnw.com in the Classes and Articles section. I hope you enjoy it.
This is just going to be informational so people can come in. A lot of people go, I don't know if I'm too interested in design or not. And a lot of times they might have questions after they've actually gotten their initial reading. They want to see if it's anything interesting to them or not. And this is just a way to kind of come together and try to get a better feel for the information. So some people here I've actually done human design readings for, but most of you I don't think I have. So that's pretty interesting. So anyway, and it's a big system. It's actually kind of a system of cosmology, really. And the bottom line out of it is to actually find out we're all 99.9% the same, but there's 0.1% that makes us unique. And what happens is in human design, it's one of the first systems that's woven together ancient esoteric traditions with modern physics and DNA, and said, and this is how you can find out how you're unique. So this is a system that addresses that. And so what I'm going to do each time I have these meetings, they're going to be twice a month, I'm going to just touch on different areas of human design for the first 20 or 30 minutes. I'll talk on a particular, you know, aspect of it, and then open it up for questions around what I just, you know, talked about. And then from there, what I will do is then after that question and answer to do with that one subject, I'll open it up to just general questions. People bring their charts and they go, hey, Kathy, what about, you know, and well, that's great fun for me to do. So I enjoy doing that. And so, you know, because several of you know nothing about human design, I'm just going to give just like a little 5-minute thumbnail overview about it, okay? So,
we'll time you.
Please. This is a projector trait, okay? Efficiency, it's a projector trait. They manage the energy of a room. And, excuse me. I'm Kathy, and I am an emotional generator, and I'm sorry, this is one of my charts I have notes all over. But I have nothing from the throat up. I'm kind of empty-headed. But that isn't horrible. But anyway, and I can put him through the ringer. I'm a 4-6 profile. Okay, so we have that in common, 4-6. People with 4 in their profile tend to be very friendly or seen as friendly. So, yeah. So. And so what happens with human design is that it was a revelation initially that happened in January of 1987. It was an 8-day event that a man went through. His name is Ra. And in this event, where the revelation basically came from was the nature bundle of the planet Earth. And it said we don't really understand. You know, we've been building, and before now, we've never really been given how to synthesize together all the ancient traditions that have existed so far. And what nature said is, you know, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, share with you all the information. And basically he was there for 8 days, basically pinned at a desk, writing information. It was a very, he said, excruciatingly uncomfortable thing, but he went through it, and he received a lot of information, and for the first several years he wouldn't share it with anybody because he thought he was crazy. And then he just felt the pressure that he said, well, if it is true, I'll see if anybody's interested. And so for the last 15 years he's been teaching people. First it was in small gatherings like this, and now you know, he teaches worldwide, has an internet classroom set up. I do that. I used to go to Spain to study for a month at a time, but now I do it online. And just what was shown is what is the most amazing thing. For those of you, you don't need to turn around because I'll point on this one. But for the people who can look up at the wheel, what happens is there's 4 ancient esoteric traditions in here. There's the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and it is all these little channels. If you look on your chart, it's all these little channels that travel between all the squares and triangles and diamonds. And that shows how the life force flows in any one individual, and it's unique how it flows in you versus somebody else. So, you know, we all have all of these functions in our body, and they do all operate, but some operate consistently in you based on what the astrological configuration was when you were born. So then what happens is, if you look in there, in this man, you'll see these different centers, and they're actually the chakra system, taken from the Hindu chakra system. But we actually are a hybrid species now. We're not pure Homo sapien anymore. So it's why things have been kind of confusing. Since 1781 and the advent of Herschel discovering Uranus, it was a marking point so that we could know that was time and space, that we got to know that we were actually evolving. And we actually had the heart chakra split into two, and it became what is this yellow diamond here, and that's called the G center. And then over here is this red triangle, and that red triangle is the heart center. And what happened is, for the quality of the heart, the ego and will stayed with the heart center. But if you ever notice yourself, you go, when someone says, oh, how did that make you feel? And you go, oh, it just touched my heart. And you always put your hand here. Well, the thymus is associated with the G center, and the G center is the center of love in this model, and it's the center of direction. And so when people go, oh, it just touched me, they don't ever go, oh, it just touched me. But if they say, oh, I'm strong, I've got my, you know, beat their chest, they always hit where the heart is. So it's kind of an interesting, you know, thing to think about, how we've already kind of known that on some level without, you know, this system telling us that. And then the other new chakra that got it added in was what they call the solar plexus. And the solar plexus in the seventh chakra human being used to house both the spleen and the solar plexus. So, and the spleen is like it's sort of like a passive system almost. And so what happens is, that's where the immunity and the survival and the intelligence and all of that comes from in the body. That was our first developing, you know, we had three centers when we first started. And so what happened, though, is that the spleen split off. It's what we call an awareness system in this model, and it split off from the solar plexus. And the solar plexus is everything to do with the gut. It's like, you know, the intestines, it's, you know, and when something makes you nervous, you get diarrhea. When something, you get butterflies in your stomach for stage fright. All of that is your emotions, and that is, when I ask, are you emotional or not, that's the seat of the emotions. And that's the last center that is really not quite grounded in us very well. And it's why we kind of have highs and lows. Emotions are responsible for all this high and low, and it's this chakra that got added in, you know, when we had this evolution in 1781. So it is now the two split apart. And it's soon going to actually fit into a stable thing, and it'll be the seat of how we have conscious connection as almost like a living organism, where all different people will almost have like telepathic communication, and you know, you won't have to speak. You'll just be reading each other's thoughts, and it'll be possible. And when this actually gets a little more grounded and a little more stable, that's what'll happen. But what does happen is we lose all the highs and lows of emotion. Everything to do with passion and sexuality and juiciness and patent place and all of that all resides over on the solar plexus side. And everything that's kind of cool, and but it's nurturing, and it makes sure the kids get fed, and the tribe has, you know, stores of food and shelter, and we can be okay in a hurricane, and, you know, all different kinds of things like that. That comes from the spleen. And those two chakras split apart in 1781, so we became more sophisticated at that point. So that's the second esoteric tradition that's tied into this system. And then what happens is, you take astrology as the entry point to figure out what your design is. But it's an interesting thing. It's Western and Vedic astrology. And the Western astrology is personal to you in your microcosm. And the Vedic astrology is related to the big cycles of the planet and what they go through, and it predicts how the cycles of the planet will go. And right now we're in the cycle of planning, and it's about to end in 2041, and we'll go into the cycle of individualism. But in the cycle of planning, it's since the 1700s that we got all of our infrastructure. We got plumbing, we got, you know, streets, and, you know, we got formalized education, and we, you know, got mass printing. Modern times, all different types of things. But one interesting thing about the astrology is that there's two birth charts done, and it's why it's different than all other traditions at this moment. And there's a birth chart for your body and your form. That's the same thing, your body, your form. And there's a birth chart for your personality, or what we, a lot of us, call our soul, that's been eternal. And the actual birth of the body sets the clock for when you'll physically be born and leave your mother's uterus. And it's not the other way around. And so it's always known that it's 88 degrees later from the time that your body is considered its birth time. And how that is set is that your body decides, which we have no control over. We can't control our heartbeat except for a little while, or our impulses in our brain or what have you, except for a little while. And what happens is that at the time that there's enough unique genetic material that it's you, and it's not, you know, the genes of mom and the genes of dad, and you could kind of separate it out and figure it out. But once you get to a point and your body knows it, it says, okay, the clock starts, you'll be born in 88 degrees from now, which is about 89 days. And it doesn't matter if you're premature, you're post your due date, you know, it doesn't matter. Your body decided when you were going to be born. So that's kind of a different, I mean, I haven't ever heard of that in any other system before. Has anybody? And so that astrology, you create two charts for the person. And so if you look at your charts and you look at the red column and the black column, and you'll see in between them there's actual symbols, and that's the sun, the earth, the moon, the north and south nodes, and then all the planets, you know, Mercury, Venus, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what happens is that they take a look at and see what the placement is in the astrological wheel. So this is, in this chart here, there's a wheel that goes around the edge here, and it shows all the different astrology signs. And so that's the astrological. That's the third part of this system. And then what happens from there is that the final wheel, the outside wheel, that is where the I Ching comes in. That's the other ancient esoteric tradition that they said was very valuable. And actually, there's a lot of, I found some of the websites that make a direct correlation between the I Ching and the actual DNA and the codons. And it's very fascinating. And this information was transmitted at that time of how to correlate that. So this actually is correlated to physiology. So those are the ancient traditions. But what happens with the I Ching is it's in a particular sequence on this wheel. It doesn't change. And so if I look at the sun sign of Capricorn, it has what they call the 10th gate, the 58th gate, the 38th gate, the 54th gate, the 61st gate, and the 60th gate. And all of those gates have qualities about them. And it helps you, you know, your astrological sign kind of sounds like you. I mean, you've probably found that. But it also depends on, are you in the first 10 degrees? Are you in the next 20? Are you in the next, you know, in the last, you know, 10 degrees? And this goes even finer. So it starts with the hexagram, and there's a correlation. Each hexagram carries a quality with it. So, you know, whatever your sun sign is in the black number, whatever number that is, that's the I Ching gate that it corresponds to. And so, in my case, mine's the 10th gate. So it's the 10th gate up here in Capricorn. Because when you take my birth time, I was born December 23rd, and you look for what gate was in at that time. It was in the 10th gate. And then what line was it in? It was in the 4th line at that time. And so that tells a tremendous amount about me. And what that says is that the main thing that I've come in this world to shine into the world is the true behavior of the true self. And I'm to do it in a network of people. And I'm to actually be involved in a network of people. And they will help me find that out about myself. So, you know, but if you were born at a different time, it would just give it a completely different quality. So there's 5 qualities to it, and in each one of the gates, then there's six different qualities inside of each of the gates saying, you know, okay, so Kathy, it's all about the behavior of the self, but how? Well, how it brings me opportunities from other people to learn in the fourth line. So, and I mean, there's other gates I could go around and give examples. But so what happens is those are the four ancient traditions that are involved in here. And then there's two modern, what they call, mystical traditions. And one is physics and the other one is DNA. And the DNA corresponds exactly to all the hexagrams, and it tells which codons operate in a particular way, and even shows how mutations come in. It showed how we evolved 90,000 years ago because of the larynx dropping, because there was a particular thing that happened astrologically that allowed that to actually happen as a potential mutation in people, and it did, because we're all here talking. And so... and throughout history, different mutations have happened. So, what the interesting thing about astrology, I always found it fascinating, and it always seemed mostly true to me. And I was always trying to say, well, why is this true? And it turns out it's because of this tiny subatomic particle called a neutrino. And there's quarks and leptons and... there's six things. I can never remember all six of them. But anyway, neutrinos are one of them. And neutrinos was a theoretical construct, and they said, well, we don't even think it has mass, but it ends up it does have an infinitesimal amount of mass. It's a very subatomic particle. And what happens is when it hits the planet Mercury, and then it comes through, and the next thing it hits is you at this time when you clear your mother's body, or at this 89 days before you're born, it sets the 0.1% of characteristics that are unique in you. So it sets his defiance. It sets mine having to be cognizant of my behavior and how it affects others. It sets these characteristics in you by altering actually the DNA. So these are the leaps you have to take in looking at human design. But what happens then from human design is anytime I give someone kind of a map of themselves, so the folks here who've actually had a reading, how close to true does it feel about you? You know, the parts that you know so far, does it have a resonance?
Yeah, it is a real relief, like even just looking at everybody in your life and going, oh, that's why everybody's pissed at me.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Miss Manifester.
Yeah, because they're like, "What? Who does she think she is that she can just do that and do that?" And, mm-hmm. And when my friend who did my first kind of introduction said, oh, you'll just walk in the room and just people will be triggered. And I'm like, you're not kidding. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like a lot of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay, there's nothing wrong with me. It's like,
that's right. Yeah, so the whole idea of design is to let you know there is nothing wrong with you, mm-hmm. and that in order to have an existence of what life is on this planet and actually in the cosmos, we have to have all the different parts. We have to have saints and devils, and we have to have everything in between. And so actually, fairly closely genetically, you can actually, you know, through a human design chart, show what's going to be the very unique characteristics of people. And how about you guys? Because I'm giving just a theoretical model, but once you get your actual chart, we know you said it helped you about, you know, the emotional having to wait for making decisions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so what happens in design, though, is in all these places that you're open, it's called your not self there, and what happens is, you know, so like in your chart, Sue, you have a lot of openness. And in all the places that you're open in your chart, this is where when you meet others, they help you know what that feels like. It's not a reliable thing. It's like I'm reliably emotional. And so when you get around me and you're not emotional and that's an open thing in you, what happens is you can feel these waves moving through you that you go, gosh, I don't normally feel like that, but ooh, you know, I'm feeling this. I mean, this happens to you when you come to study group with me and Teresa. I mean, Rhonda, we're both emotional. And you probably definitely feel the waves move through you. And what happens for, like, just in the case of an emotional person, my husband and I really helped us in our marriage, because what would happen is before we'd argue and just keep escalating, because he'd get a little more cranked up and I'd get a little more cranked up. And I mean, we never yelled or anything, but we just disagreed, you know. And I learned I have to walk away from him. And what happens is if I get a certain distance and he can empty out, he can go back to what's neutral, he can actually hear what's true for him, and then I can kind of calm down because I'm not as escalated as I got, because I wasn't really that escalated. I was about this escalated. And he didn't know what to do with it. So what happens is when someone's open emotionally and you're having a disagreement, you keep ping-ponging. One's at two. They're upset. It's a two. This person over here, because they don't have a regular... What happens in these the Kabbalah, the pathways, it shows you how the energy can regularly go in you and can go from system to system. Well, if you have a system that's open and you don't have any regular pathway of energy there, when another person gets around you, because of the neutrinos, this is the other thing the neutrinos do, they not only set your characteristics at birth, they actually create, when two people come together and they're within two arm lengths each of each other, you know, both you, if you, you would have to stand a total of four arm lengths apart to not feel the effect. But when you're within four arm lengths of each other, neutrinos go from you and they come into me. And when they come to me, they change my physiology to mirror what you have that I don't. And you get what I don't. And what happens is a neutrino is such a little tiny particle, it can only pick up a bit or two of information. And when it gets the bit or two of information, it leaves it off and the next thing it hits. And the next thing it hits is me or you. And so... if you ever, I imagine every one of us could say, when I get around this person, I always feel like this. I can't help it. I promise myself when I go in the room, I'm not going to be that way like with that person. But what happens is you physiologically change because of the neutrinos coming into you and into me, and they blend, you know, we get the blend of each other. So what happens is they call that the conditioning from other people. And what was your conditioning in the first 7 years of your life from the most, from the people you had the most contact with in your life? So usually your mother, probably your father, maybe some brothers and sisters, or, you know, in our case, it could be a lot of people because we had a lot of people living with us. But what happens is you think you're that combination of all those people. And then when you go out on your own, it's like, I don't feel like myself. But you don't know what yourself feels like. You've been conditioned by that environment. You've been used to your energy feeling this certain way around all these people. And so what human design does is it kind of tells you what's you and how does it reliably operate. And then why do you want to know that? Because the idea of this system is to say that every person is their own authority. Every person actually knows truly what's best for them. And if you learn to know what's predictably you and to know where that authority is inside of you, then what will happen is you'll be able to find your own answers. And I think that that's, you know, I had a New Age store and flower essence business and, you know, was part New Thought movement for a very long time. And I never had anything that truly, I mean, I think kinesiology helped me. I think connection with nature helped me. I think a lot of things helped me, but there is a mechanism where you know, you absolutely know this is my truth. And that's what I like, because then you get the experiences that are really your experiences. But what happens is, so not only does the hexagram have six lines, underneath the six lines it has what they call six colors. They're not really colors like red, green, and blue. They're colors like attitudes of how you live life. I'm hopeful. Other people are fearful. Some people have the need, and that makes them a leader or a follower. Some people have desire, and that makes them master something, but at first they're a novice, you know, like a kung fu, you know, or a martial arts student who ultimately becomes a master. And then others have to be the leaders, and this is underneath the line. So you'll have first up here the hexagram, and it's got its six lines. Then underneath you have this color that I was just kind of mentioning some of the qualities, and there's six of them. And then underneath that, Then there is what they call the six tones, and this is the part that you would probably be the most interested in. It has tremendous health ramifications. And this kind of talks about the things at a physiological level that you can't ever touch or even access, even with the most mystical peyote, hallucinogenic experience. You'll never be able to access that part of yourself. We call it, you know, as a jargon in human design, the department of planning. And then underneath that is a tiny facet. There's only five. So there's five, then there's six, then there's six, then there's six. So you're one tiny thread all the way down to what they call the base. But for your sun, for your actual sun at the conscious level, whatever the base is, that's you eternally. That's your soul. And it's the same no matter how it ends up coming up to the hexagram, to the 10th hexagram, as in my case. And so that's the piece of you that comes back for experiences and experiences and experiences. But you come back with one of five views, and it never changes. And so you're always stuck in this one tiny view, your soul. Well, not tiny, huge, you know. But anyway, so, okay, so that's kind of answering that a little bit.
My question is there could there be a relationship between even disease or
absolute
body parts versus not healthy body parts?
Well, there probably is, and you know, we talk about that all the time in our advanced studies. And what they say about this system is it's not a belief structure, it's a science, and it's going to take 300 years to prove, and it's only in its first 20. So there's going to have to be testing capacity at the physiological level to actually, you know, one of the things is at the health level, you can tell if it's more important somebody's salt balance, whether it's any one of the 12 tissue salts, or if it's more important the whole electrical activity of the whole neural system, or it's more important how all the sugars go in and out of their cells. And so people are kind of clumped into those three main categories, and there's no way to actually measure it at this point. And so there's telltale signs to look for, but there's no way to measure it. But each one of those centers has a correlation. I almost brought that chart tonight, but I printed so many charts I went, I think that's overkill for the night. And each one of those centers has a correlation to an organ system. So like the throat, it's one that I'm always concerned about because mine is completely open. There's no activation. There's no gate. There's no even potential when I meet another person unless they have completely something for my throat to get active. And so that's the thyroid. And the thyroid ends up being one of the most complicated systems to understand because there isn't one easy way to deal with thyroid and metabolism. It you know, there's it has many faces, as I've been finding out. And also, you have to be. And one of the things about the open spleen is they can't take allopathic medicines. It's too harsh for them. They just can't. You know, but a defined spleen can take allopathic medicines and, you know, the body will deal with the fact that it's going to mess them up a little bit. But for someone with an open spleen, it's really, really difficult on them. The spleen is, you're emotional. Let me see your chart and I'll tell you if it's open. It's open. So it's not defined. It's not colored in. So all of them have a color if there's a regular channel that goes between. And I can't tell if the top one is yellow or not. Is it open?
Yeah.
It is yellow.
It's yellow.
Okay, well, that's like an adjective. That would be an adjective. The one that has the whole channel that goes between two places, that's like the verb. It's like the truth of you. It's what they call the life force energy. It is how the energy moves between those two centers, and it gives you a certain characteristic. So one of my life force energies is I have something that goes from the root center up to the emotional center. And the particular pathway it goes on is it's called the channel of emoting, like E-M-O-T-I-N-G. And it's the biggest channel of emotion. So I should have some of the highest highs and the lowest lows of most people. And also, interestingly enough, most eating disorders are in that channel. And here I am. I've had problems.
47?
No, 39.55. Yeah. And so I've had problems with my weight. And then the fact that I have no activations in my thyroid, I don't have a dependable way for my thyroid to function. I'm reliant on being around other people for it to operate, you know, reliably. And so The person who did my reading, it was quite interesting. She had never met me. I was selling essences at the time, and I called her on the phone to order her line of essences to sell to some folks in Japan. And she said, well, I want to first do your chart. And it was the most interesting thing. I was like, I had a New Age store, and I went, hello, get away. And anyway, so she did. And in three sentences, she said, oh, you probably have quite a weight problem. And I was like, you've never seen me. You don't even know what I look like. How do you know that, you know? And I said, it's true. How did you know? Oh, it's right there in your chart. You've got the, you know, the channel that when they don't know how to channel and know their emotions and know how to deal with them, and you don't know that about yourself, you're going to have an eating disorder, and you have no activations in your throat. So you're going to have all kinds of metabolism problems, and you're going to be prone to weight.
Okay. We've been going about 50 minutes, and we haven't gotten to the point yet.
He's a 6'2", a natural leader, natural leader. Okay. All right. So, you know what? That's what can be for questions and answers later. How about that?
You can find this recording on my website at humandesignnw.com in the classes and articles section.